Well, here's our first little thought about our big mission this morning. And again, it fits so perfectly with what Joel shared with us. Mission equals invading big, dark places with the light of the gospel. Mission equals invading big, dark places with the light of the gospel. Look at verse 19 and 20. I'm going to take just portions of verse 19 and 20. In verse 19, let's start with, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. And so I want to encourage you, circle the name of the city Antioch there. The name of the city Antioch. Traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. And then in verse 20, beginning with the word coming to Antioch. Again, circle Antioch again. Coming to Antioch. Preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, if this was just an expositional verse-by-verse study, we would stop and we would compare or contrast the fact that some of these people, they were preaching the gospel just to Jews along the way, but there were some who, when they got to Antioch, they preached the gospel to the Hellenists, to the non-Jewish peoples, right? And that's really worth studying, but that's not the point of this. This is just, we want to look at some big thoughts here that are very, very important to the way we're going to process this thing called mission. Traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, coming to Antioch. Now, when we think of the major cities of the world, the influential cities of the world, if you've ever seen like global branding, right? There's New York, London, Paris, right? That's a big deal, especially in the fashion world. You know, it's just a big deal. That's where you're going to find these articles in New York, London, and Paris. In the first century AD, it was Rome, Alexandria, and Antioch. Antioch was a big city. In that ancient part of the world, 500,000+. Antioch was a big, dark place. In Satan's war against the worship of the true and living God on planet Earth, it was one of his crowning conquests. It was a stronghold of idolatry and all of the brokenness and wickedness that accompanies it. Sex was worshipped in Antioch. About 5 miles outside of the city was the temple of Daphne, and there sex was enthroned in worship through priestesses who were religious prostitutes. Antioch was home to hundreds of thousands of idol worshipers. Antioch was so morally corrupt that it was actually described by a Roman author as a sewer that was polluting the capital of the pagan world, the city of Rome. Antioch was so morally wrecked that from 1,300 miles away from Rome, it was pouring moral pollution into the pagan capital, Rome. Now, remember last week, we learned that Jesus came here on a mission. He came to seek and save the lost. And then he said that as the Father sent him, he is sending us. So if you're a Christian, that means that you and I are a part of that mission, the mission of Jesus. Because it is the great desire of the Holy Spirit to shine into the darkest places the light of the knowledge of the glory of the one true and living God in the face of his Son, Jesus Christ. We are commissioned to be a part of that mission. That means that we should be moving towards the dark places, even the biggest and darkest ones. Not moving back from them, not building a wall and trying to shoot a few things over the wall at fallen culture. No, we should be moving towards the dark places. The mission of Jesus invaded that big, dark city of Antioch. The gospel would be proclaimed in that city. The gospel would break through the darkness of that city. A church would be planted in that city. And it would be from that city and the church in that city that the gospel would advance into Asia Minor and Europe and actually change the course of Western civilization. Guys, the Holy Spirit has left us the record of the gospel invading that big dark city because he knows that it's easy for you and for me to feel overwhelmed by the massive spiritual and moral darkness of fallen culture that seems to be closing in on us. And the Holy Spirit knows that it's easy to feel like we can't even begin to think of how do we make the tiniest dent in that. When we feel that way, we need to remember, mission equals invading big, dark places with the light of the gospel. Living in the mission of Jesus, living on mission with Jesus, means that you and I should be moving towards the dark places, even the biggest and darkest ones, because the light of the gospel proclaimed and the light of Jesus in the lives of his people shines so brightly in big, dark places. Have you ever been in a very big space that's dark and you have not got some big, giant, you know, searchlight to illuminate the whole thing? But man, if you have a little bright light in a big, dark space, it shines so brightly. It's so obvious that it's there. You've seen those pictures of either arenas or big stadiums and all the lights are off like in a concert and then everybody's got their little iPhone flashlights on, right? And they're holding them up and it's brilliant light, but it's just little lights occupying dark space. What a great day for us to hear from Joel, from Delia, from Paul, about how Metro was a part of the gospel of Jesus invading the darkness of the darkest neighborhood in Newark, New Jersey. Guys, when you and I feel like there's no way the gospel can break through the spiritual darkness in your own neighborhood, in your school, or in your workplace, remember, mission equals invading big, dark places with the light of the gospel. Acts chapter 11 says, move towards it. Acts chapter 11 says, invade it. When you wonder if the gospel can penetrate the hearts of individuals, perhaps that individual is your spouse. Perhaps it's one or more of your children. Perhaps if you know Jesus, but your parents don't. Maybe it's your parents or maybe it's your friends. When you wonder if the gospel can penetrate the hearts of individuals, remember this. You and I used to be miniature versions of Antioch. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, the New King James Version says this, for you were once darkness. Now check that out. It doesn't say you once were in darkness. It says, no, you were darkness. We were Antioch. But it says, but now you are light in the Lord. No, it's not just you are in the light of the Lord. No, it says you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. And here in Acts chapter 11, we see children of light walking towards the darkness. Guys, I'm a Christian today. I told you last week because there was a Christian who was living in the mission of Jesus in along the way to a movie, he led me to faith in Jesus. But I can take it look at it from another perspective. I'm a Christian today because someone living in the mission of Jesus invaded my dark life. You see, I knew this guy since we were in the fourth grade. I was 22 when he led me to faith in Jesus. He knew what a dark guy I was. He knew that I hung out with guys who our greatest pleasure was to mock people. That we would mock anybody who professed faith in Jesus. This guy walked towards me, not away from me. And he told me about Jesus. And when this guy, the light of the message he proclaimed and the light of Jesus in him, man, when he walked towards me, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shined into my darkness in the face of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm saved. Now, our next two little thoughts about our big gospel tell us how the mission of Jesus advanced, invaded that big dark city, and who God used on that mission. So, second little thought about our big mission is this: God moves us into mission. Look at verse 19. It says, now those who were scattered. You want to circle that word. Those who were scattered. The sense of that particular word that Luke used there, it means move away from each other or be moved away from each other. Notice they're different. Same idea. Here's others, you're away. But one is you move away. The other is to be moved away. In this case, they were being moved. They were being moved. They were scattered. And it says they were scattered because, that's a big word to circle. What was moving them? They were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen. You remember Stephen, the first martyr of the church. As a matter of survival, they traveled. You want to circle that word, traveled. They were moved because of the persecution that arose over Stephen. They traveled, there they are, in motion as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. Now, here's the deal. God still moves us into mission that is waiting to happen. He moves us into mission that's waiting to happen. Sometimes he moves us internally as we read his word. And you're reading the scriptures, and it's like God is just moving you. He's speaking to you about a course of action, about a direction, a change of direction. He moves us internally as we're being taught the Word of God. I remember sitting in the Musicians Fellowship at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Valerie and I weren't even married at the time, and we'd be going to this Musicians Fellowship, and Pastor Malcolm Wilde, he would be teaching, and then he would say, you know, I'm praying that God's going to send some of you guys to England, because Malcolm was from England, and he says, my country used to send missionaries around the world. Now my country needs missionaries to come to it. And when he would say that, my heart would beat hard. I had no idea why. But that was from sitting in a Bible study, a pastor teaching from the Word of God, God began to move me internally. I remember there was a specific moment when we were over in East Roseville Parkway and we were studying through the book of Acts, and Danny Donnelly came up to me after a study and his eyes were kind of all watering. He goes, brother, you're preaching me out of Metro. And he didn't mean it was bad. Not many months later, we were out in front of Pete's over by the Nugget Market, and he comes, and again, it's the eyes are watery. And he says, brother, the Lord, every time you teach from the book of Acts, it's like God is saying, Danny, you need to move back to L.A. You need to get embedded back in the music scene there because you need to tell your friends from that world about Jesus. Internally moved. And in those cases, we choose to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and then we, of our volition, we move, right? We're active in it. We're deciding. We're making choices. We may not, or we may be aware of the mission God is moving us into. Or maybe the mission that we think we're moving into isn't even close to the mission that God is leading us into. But nevertheless, we're active in it. We're hearing the Holy Spirit leading us. We're deciding. We're making choices. But we're actively moving. But behind it all, God's the one moving us. He's moving us into mission. But there are times when God moves us by allowing external things, things outside of our control, to move us. Loss of employment. Changes in health. Maybe broken relationships. Relationships in your own life or in the life of loved ones. But unlike the former examples, it isn't us that's moving. We're being moved. And in the middle of it, we're going, this is not a move that I want to make. This is not a move I understand. It's not a move that I just can put my arms around and get it, easily embrace it. But see, that's what we go through when we're being moved. Now, guys, brothers and sisters, we need to remember and we need to remind each other that no matter what it is that is moving us or where it is we are being moved to, God's got us. Would you please remember that? God's got you. Because when we're feeling that we're being moved by things outside of us, we feel like we're flailing a little bit sometimes, and we're pushing back, and we're kind of wondering, where is God, and where is this that he's launching me to, and where am I going to land? Where are my feet going to land in this thing, and what's it going to look like when we get there? But the truth is that God has you every step of the way, just as he had these people who were scattered. He had them. He never did not have them. He had them. I was talking with a brother recently, a pastor friend of mine, and he was talking about like how they had to make some changes in their staff and their staff size because of just the economy of their church there, and they'd been going through this series of cutbacks. And he says right before he had to make the next one he had to, that was scheduled, he said that a guy from the last series of cutbacks that he had let go came up to him and he said, "Hey, brother, I want you to know this. Like, I know it must be so hard for you to do this, but I want to encourage you in this. Like, when you had to let us go in the last one, God had us. God had us. He's taking care of us every day. God has us. God has us, guys, and when we're being moved, and no matter what it is that's moving us or where it is we're being moved, not only does God have us, but he's gone before you, and there's actually mission along the way. And this really hit me this morning. It's not in my notes at all, but it really struck me this morning. So we're going through those moments where we're being moved, and it's really uncomfortable. We didn't initiate the move. We're not comfortable with the move. We don't understand the move. We're just in the dark about it. We're kind of flailing. We're pushing back here and there against it all the way. And then this very biblical sensibility begins to kind of, or people come to us and remind us of this sensibility. Hey, you know, God's going to work all this together for the good. This is going to be for your good, and it's okay. But you know what hit me this morning? It's way bigger than just the good I'm going to get. It's the good of his mission. We can even be in the midst of that. We can be so short-sighted and so us-focused that it's like, no, do you understand that the very place you're at as you're being moved right now, it's in the mission of God along the way in this thing. Stop flailing, start walking, and start talking to people about Jesus, because you're catching people along the way that you weren't going to catch back there until you were being moved. I know, man, I've known the Lord for some years now. And like I'm going, Lord, please forgive me for being so me-centered and missing mission along the way in those moments. I want to live bigger than me. Even though the whole thing about, Lord, I'm convinced. And I am not diminishing. Like, hey, whatever trial you're going through, God's going to work it out together for the good. You're in good. You're going to be good. God's got it. God's got you. And it is going to be for your good. But I just want to see it bigger than that. There's mission that he has for you along the way, and there's mission waiting for you when you get there. And when you get there, there are men, women, and children whose lives are going to be forever changed because God moved you. This last Friday, I was speaking with Marshall Morsi, dear brother of ours, who was in our living room from the very beginning of Metro. He and his wife, Carrie. And I was talking to him. His wife had surgery, by the way, on Saturday, and she's good. She had shoulder surgery from that falling off of the horse deal. We prayed for her, and she's doing well. But I was talking to Marshall, and he was saying, man, I can't tell you how amazing it is for me to be doing children's ministry with Creed Aiken down here in Orange County. Wow. Pretty crazy. It is pretty crazy. So let me give you this. So why would Marshall be amazed? Creed Aiken is he's a young man here. He just graduated from high school. He's been around. Creed was in Marshall's Monday night children's ministry when Creed was 5 years old. And now Creed is out of high school, and he's helping Marshall in Orange County doing children's ministry, right? So he's going, that's so mind-blowing to me. Neither of them would have dreamed of being in the mission of Jesus together in Orange County. It's not like they're doing ministry, children's ministry here at Metro, but they're actually doing children's ministry together in Orange County. Why is Creed in Orange County? Creed's in Orange County because he moved there to go to the School of Worship at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. It was one of those internal things. Lord, what do you want to do with my life? Where are you leading me? I'm out of high school. I've got some things that I think about, but Lord, where do you want me to be at this season in my life? And he felt the Lord leading him, and he said, here I am, Lord, I'll go. Yeah, awesome. That's why Creed is in Orange County. Marshall and Carrie are living in Orange County because they were moved by God by way of heartbreaking circumstances outside of their control. God moved Carrie and Marshall to Orange County externally. God moved Creed internally. They're both in the mission of Jesus there. So to sum up these first two little thoughts on our big mission, God loved that big dark city of Antioch so much. God loved those 500,000 people lost in darkness so much that he moved his people to them. He moved them. And how did he move them? Persecution. And that doesn't mean he didn't love those people who he was moving. Jesus loved those people. He shed his blood for those people. But God, the people that he loved and had purchased with his own blood, he was allowing them to be moved by very uncomfortable, painful circumstances to reach people who were so lost in darkness, and he loved those people there too. And our next little thought, and I'm going to, actually, this is where we're going to, I had like seven of these little thoughts this morning from Acts 11, but we're going to do three of them. Our next little thought about our big mission deals with the who of Jesus' mission, right? The who. There's the how, and there's the who. There's the mission, invading darkness with the bright light of the gospel. There's the how. God moves us into that mission. Number three, mission involves a bunch of no names. A bunch of no names. We need to understand that by this moment in the history of Christianity that's recorded in Acts 11, the gospel has made its way from Jerusalem to, verse 19, as far as Phoenicia. Now, Phoenicia, yeah, that's the area of present-day Lebanon. Its primary cities then would be Tyre, Sidon, and a place called Ptolemais, right? So the gospel's moved from Jerusalem, that's in the south of Israel, up above the northern borders into Lebanon, and Cyprus. Now, Cyprus is 100 miles off the coast in the Mediterranean Sea. And by the way, we're going to visit Cyprus in November of 2020, in our Footsteps of the Apostle Paul cruise. And you can sign up for that, connect us. Shameless advertising there. So the gospel's made its way by Acts 11 as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, 300 miles from Jerusalem. Now, for us, we're going 300 miles, man. That's like to the grapevine, right? Something like that, from here to the grapevine down south on Interstate 5. That's a big distance. That's a really, 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 really big distance for people who probably have never left their neighborhoods. We know how they got there. They were moved. They were scattered. But we have no idea who they are. Look at the language Luke uses in verse 19. Now those, circle that one, that word, those. There's no names. Those are the no names. Verse 20, but there were some. Circle that word, some. There were some of them. Who's the them? The them are the those. The those have no names. There were some of the those, no names, who were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. They don't even give the names of them. They just say where they're from. They're no names from these two places, who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. Guys, both the how and the who of mission in Acts chapter 11 are absolutely counterintuitive in our culture of celebrity and our culture of sophisticated strategies and marketing. Absolutely counterintuitive. The gospel advanced from Jerusalem to Cyprus, then to Antioch, by way of those and some, not by Christian celebrities. Wow. You see, today, a lot of Christians think the way that the gospel is going to advance is you find your newest Christian celebrity and make sure everybody gets his podcast. But the gospel, the light of Jesus in a living human being, in front of somebody living in darkness is powerful. I'm not saying you can't get saved through a podcast. I know one guy, a guy that God has used so mightily over the years, radically in the realm of evangelism. He was staying at home, had a loaded rifle in his hand, was going to murder his wife and kids and take his own life. And on the TV screen, up pops this guy named Chuck Smith, who's talking about Jesus Christ. And he gets on his knees and he gets saved in his living room. I'm not saying you can't get saved by technology. God's not opposed to strategies. Paul the Apostle had a strategy. Every time he walked into a city, he went to a synagogue. We're going to get to that. There's a little thought on our big mission when we get to that one next week. But guys, in a culture of celebrity, the who of this mission, it doesn't make sense. The gospel advanced from Jerusalem to Cyprus to Antioch by way of those and some, not by celebrities. The gospel was advanced into the darkness of that big city by those and some who had devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers in Jerusalem. Just nameless people who went to Bible studies, devoted themselves to fellowship with other Christians, breaking bread with them and prayers. But now they've been moved away from the apostles who were teaching in Jerusalem. They've been moved away from the fellowship that was there in Jerusalem, in the newly birthed church there. They are moved away from the men and women they broke bread with and prayed with. And once scattered from Jerusalem, they had no access to Peter's sermons. There was no Peter's podcasts. They couldn't live stream services from Jerusalem. Would you just think about that for a moment? You know, when, Perry, you might remember this, going back to that first Sunday at Rockland High School, I said, how is it? The book of Acts challenges us by asking, how is it that so few with so little accomplish so much, when today so many with so much accomplish so little? They didn't have any of that. The apostles' doctrine was being carried in the hearts of the those and the some. Guys, I want to encourage you. When we study the Bible together, you leave these doors and you are in mission. You're on mission. You're carrying God's word with you out the doors. And bigger than that, the no names carried the name. And we talked about that last week, right? That was one of our little thoughts. How you shall carry, he's going to carry my name. How we carry it in word, and we carry it in character, in our transformed lives. The no names carried the name. The no names were now the containers of the gospel that had been proclaimed to them and explained to them. We need to be so very careful to not allow the fallen culture of celebrity and our sophisticated strategies to shape the way we understand mission. And granted, again, there's tension, right? There's a little tension there. There's a really bright guy named Kellen, down at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and he's like one of the driving forces for the Calvary Chapel, the Calvary Global Network, and calvarychapel.com, and all the resources there. And we were walking in the snow in New York. We were there for a prayer meeting. And we were walking through the snow, and he's talking. He says, so Richard, how do you deal with the leading of the Holy Spirit and strategic planning? And we had these great conversations about it. It's not either or, but today we find that we're more like just you got to be super strategic. No. Guys, there's no such thing in the book of Acts as a Christian celebrity. There isn't one. The first Christians recognized the authority of the apostles in the church, and they sat under the teaching of the apostles, but the only big thing about the leaders in the early church was the target on their backs. Guys, it was the leaders, it was the pastors in the early church that were the first to be arrested and taken away. Having this little text exchange with Pastor Justin about this Christian celebrity idea, he sent me this quote from a guy named H.B. Charles. I love it. We don't necessarily need any more famous Christians. We need more faithful Christians. Men and women faithfully living in the mission of Jesus. Not depending on the Christian celebrities to do the mission. No, they're to equip people to live in the mission of Jesus. This stuff is so wonderful to stop and think about. To just think, Lord, I need to think this way about your mission. I want to live and breathe this thing. I don't ever want to be walking away from the big dark places in my world. I want to be moving towards it because that's your mission. You want to rescue people out of darkness. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, right? He's called us out of darkness so that we can show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we're participating with him in that work. And we need to remember that he has a how that he moves us internally or externally. And we never want to say, well, Lord, you could never use me. Well, he sent one young lady in our church who recently had been hospitalized because she was in a hit and run accident. And when she got out, she became a part of this team of people going to Newark, New Jersey, and happened to be the one team member who could speak Spanish to one little girl living in a big, dark place. Yay, Jesus.